Happy Tuesday, everyone. I'm your host, Dawn Ireland, president of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. This week, we're joined by the Rohde family with mom, Jennifer, dad, Al, and their survivor, Joseph. Interviewing this week is Tracy Meets, one of our amazing board members. Tracy is also the president of the support division at CDH International, better known as CHERUBS.
Hello, Jennifer, Joseph, and Al. We're here today to talk about Joseph's journey with CDH. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about yourself and what CDH, or what life was like before CDH? And then tell me a little bit about your journey with Joseph and CDH.
Well, I'm Al Rohde, obviously Joseph's father. I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, and was a bus engineer and a train engineer in my pre-CDH life. When Joseph came along, it was coincidental with a switch in my career from trains to contract engineering. So the logical choice was to become a stay-at-home dad and take care of Joseph through his adventure, be it medical or school, or the occasional trip to the zoo.
My name is Jennifer Rohde. I'm Joseph's mom. Before CDH, I was an air safety investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board. After Joseph was born, I was blessed with the additional title, best title of my life, of mom. And now I am the deputy chief of the Central Region. Still an air safety investigator, still with the National Transportation Safety Board. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Joseph Rohde. I am their son, and I like to play a lot, and I like to play video games. I am 9 years old. I have CDH.
So we found out at 12 weeks gestation on February 14th, Valentine's Day, that Joseph had a birth defect, but we didn't have the details of what that birth defect was. They knew that there was something wrong. I had gone in for additional testings and scans because I was considered geriatric or old with my pregnancy, which was insulting. I didn't think I was very old, but we went in and based on a difference in thickness on the back of his neck, his nuchal translucency that was less than the thickness of a human hair, they determined that there was something wrong. And at 20 weeks gestation, we continued the pregnancy despite being encouraged to abort the pregnancy at that point. We continued the pregnancy, and at 20 weeks gestation, we saw another specialist, and that specialist was able to do additional scans and tests and determine at that point that our child was going to have a CDH, or a congenital diaphragmatic hernia. And so we continued with that specialist. We continued with the pregnancy, and a very steep learning curve, drinking from a fire hose to figure out what was CDH, because it's a little bit more common, but nobody hears about it. Nobody knows about it. And so we learned as much as we could, and continued the pregnancy, worked with multiple specialists, and were ultimately put in touch with specialists at Children's Hospital Colorado, who had a team that specialized with the birth defect of CDH and the different constellation of issues that could be associated therewith. The pregnancy was otherwise uneventful. It was stressful. It was really hard to plan for a child, not knowing what the future was going to hold for that child. Was our child going to be well, or was our child going to struggle for a while? They gave us an 80% chance of survival based on the multiple tests that they did. We went in August 29th in the evening to start the delivery process. They wanted us to deliver sooner rather than later so that they could ensure a certain team was on staff and available at Children's Hospital when Joseph arrived. And just a little bit after midnight, technically 42 minutes past his expected birth date, August 31st, Joseph was born. And it's been a roller coaster ever since. I stayed at the University of Colorado Hospital for 3 days, having had a non-emergent C-section. Joseph was not born naturally. I was not able to progress in labor, and he was struggling throughout the labor process. So they took him by non-emergent C-section. They transferred him over to Children's Hospital Colorado several hours later after stabilizing him. So the first time I got to see my son was as he was being wheeled past my head after delivery. And they had a bag on his face, helping him breathe. And we heard a little squeak just after he came out. And then they rushed him away. He had a pneumothorax during their stabilization with him. So they punctured his lung or blew up his lung trying to help inflate those and stabilize those. And then it was about 4 hours later that we got to see him again for just a few short minutes. And he came into the recovery room, and he was in this big box, and he was surrounded by all of these pumps and machines that were keeping him alive at that point. And it was really hard. The only way I could interact with my child was reaching through this little teeny tiny hole in the incubator and holding his hand for a few minutes before they had to rush him over to Children's Hospital. And that was the last time I saw my son and my husband for 3 days. That was almost 10 years ago. And I'm very, very grateful for technology. We had text messages. So Al could send me pictures while I was recovering from the C-section. At 3 days, the nurses at the University Hospital, don't tell anybody, let me sneak out. And they had a golf cart waiting for me, and they drove me in the golf cart across this huge parking lot to Children's, where Children's was. So it was just across the parking lot, but it was like a quarter mile. So they drove me in the golf cart across the parking lot, and I was able to go upstairs and see Joseph for the first time. And a few hours later, he had his first of many, many surgeries. And that was his hernia repair surgery. With at 3 days of life, they repaired his hernia and started the slow and frustrating journey towards recovery. So I was discharged shortly thereafter, and we lived at Children's Hospital for 5 months, 122 days, many, many, many thousands of hours. During that time, Joseph had multiple surgeries, almost daily echoes. Joseph was kind of touch and go. Initially, after his hernia repair surgery, they thought he was doing pretty good. Joseph had, as a result of his CDH, pulmonary hypertension, severe reflux, among many, many other things, but those were the big things. And it was the pulmonary hypertension, we thought, that was keeping him there. He had severe pulmonary hypertension, and so they were treating that with nitrous oxide therapy. And for many months, they tried different treatments, they added different medications, and Joseph would go through these episodes periodically where he would code or stop breathing, and they'd have to resuscitate him. And for the longest time, they really felt that this was associated with his pulmonary hypertension. At one point, they felt that it might be associated with severe reflux and that he was aspirating, doing a silent aspiration because of the severe reflux. And so they proposed that we go through a procedure, a surgical procedure, with a Nissen and a G-tube. So a Nissen fund application is where they take the stomach and they wrap it with the esophagus, and that precludes the migration of stomach acids and reflux food from coming up in the esophagus and then being silently aspirated, which is a problem in many of the CDH kiddos. So we went through that and it didn't make any difference. And so, you know, frustrated, he was eating, he was fed breast milk. I was able to express and provide him that nourishment naturally. We had to supplement with a protein powder a little bit just to increase the nutrient content or the caloric content of the milk. But I was able to give him that, you know, the protections that a mother's milk provides the baby. But we continued to have situations where Joseph would code and he'd stop breathing. And we were kind of at wit's end, you know, promises that just kept getting kicked down the road of when we were going to come home and what milestones were necessary for it to be safe for him to come home. And just before Christmas, there was a new surgical doctor who took over the surgery department at Children's Hospital. And he came through on rounds one day at Children's Hospital. And it was kind of entertaining for those who were watching the conversation, but rounds is supposed to be at a teaching hospital where the specialists and the experts speak with the students and the new doctors to teach them as much as they can while they're there, and they can learn from the different patients. And it switched from the residents briefing the specialist to me talking directly with the specialist. And the conversation that Al and I were having with the specialist surrounded a bronch. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to stick a camera down Joseph's throat and bronchial tubes and look at his lungs. And we had been told that there was a possibility that Joseph had something called tracheal malacia, which is the weak trachea. It's kind of floppy instead of fully developed. And they did not want to do a bronch with Joseph because he was so critical and so unstable. They didn't feel that they could do that safely with him. And they felt that if he did have tracheal malacia, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was maybe
It was very low,
maybe a 1 or a 2.
No so concern.
The surgical specialist was not happy with this. He said, no, I want Joseph bronched.
Well, the resident
right now
had said that he had a good night. He hadn't coded in a few days when Mama spoke up and said, wait, he coded this morning. Mm-hmm. So at that point, the new doc said, trach him now. So within a few hours, we found that his trachemalacia was an 11 on a 10 scale. So it's very So we had a processed forward, just no time frame. So we had to go to the doctor, and we begged him, or we encouraged him that he's been coding so often, we need to have this done sooner or later, because the next time he codes could be the last time. So they have to do it now. So it was done within a day or so. So that was a great change, because as soon as he came out of that surgery, he was completely different. He was pinked up. He was more active. Codes were gone. He was no longer suffocating.
Mm-hmm. It was an aortic pexy was the kind of an experimental procedure that they did. They did that on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Christmas Eve. And like Al said, it was night and day. When he came out of the surgery, he was doing so well that the nitrous oxide therapy that they had him on resulted in pneumonia?
It looked like pneumonia, but they weren't sure. That night they turned off the nitrous and they woke me up and said they're gonna have to intubate because of his lungs. And then said, wait a minute, let's turn the nitrous off and see what that does. I didn't say that, but the doc said that. And the next day it was no pneumonia. He was on the mend. And within
another month
we were out. He came home.
February 1st of 2012. We finally brought him home and he hasn't looked back. So that was our birth in NICU journey. Full of many blessings. Tracy, you know this story. You're intimately familiar with this story because you and Nicole were on speed dial. You were right there for every tear, every frustration. Nicole was my rock right there. She had been through similar frustrations. You know, hers unfortunately injured in a heartbreak and a loss that no parent or no family should ever have to navigate. But despite that, she was there for us. She would bring us coffee. She would bring us cookies. She would bring us tea. She would be angry with us and say it's okay to be angry. She would cry with us, and she's celebrated with us. You have celebrated with us, and so we haven't been through this journey alone. Everybody with Sherubs, CDH International, you guys are rock stars. Dawn, we got to meet Dawn at the airport. I don't remember how old Joseph was, but she made it a point to leave her boarding gate, come out and have nachos with us at one of the restaurants there at Denver. And so, we're very, very grateful for everything that you guys have done.
Oh, you are very welcome. You are very welcome. Joseph is a part of our Cherubs family, and we have enjoyed watching him from the little tiny warrior that he was to the warrior he is today. You have fought so hard, Joseph, and we are so very proud of you. Tell us, how was life after the NICU? Did you have difficulties with colds, respiratory issues? Did you come home with a feeding tube, oxygen?
All of the above. We are just a few weeks away from 10 years old, and we are still on oxygen as needed with colds. And then as at night, he's on an eighth of a liter, which is just a small little amount. But room air challenges at night have shown that his pulmonary hypertension is still kind of obnoxious in the background. And so as they continue to troubleshoot a couple of other help things, that it's a free safety net, a little bit of oxygen, what it costs to have a concentrator, put him on it, it's free peace of mind to know that that pulmonary hypertension is not going to cause problems later down the road. Feeding tubes. Yep. Ugh. We are a graduate from a feeding tube. Joseph had a feeding tube until he was five. I want to say that he got rid of it. We started the weaning process around the age of five. And then by six, we had removed the feeding tube. And then he just needed to have the surgery to close the stoma that was left over from the feeding tube. So
about French fries and hamburgers from there on.
Yep, absolutely. He certainly keeps the French fry companies. Lots of medications still to this day. We are fortunate that right now we don't need any medications other than the oxygen for the management of the pulmonary hypertension. He does do a couple of different inhalers twice a day for breathing therapies, just to help his lungs stay strong. And then albuterol with exercise or exertion as needed. We're on a reflux medication to help with that reflux. His Nissen has slowly come unwrapped, and it is currently a complex hiatal hernia. So his stomach has herniated through what's left over of his Nissen, which has herniated through his hiatus. And so it's something that's resulting in some motility issues and a couple of other concerns, some pain and discomfort with eating and activity. So something that we're monitoring actively right now. What else am I forgetting?
That's it.
Do you see the doctors yearly, Joseph?
Yeah, every with the doctor, his pediatrician, once or twice a year, and the docs at the hospital. Unfortunately, it's been a while since our last visit because of COVID, because we don't need them near the hospital unless we have to.
Right.
We have literally not left the house since March 2020. But we do go out, but he doesn't go in. He doesn't go into public. He's highly isolated. It's okay. We've got you covered.
It's completely understandable. It's completely understandable. We want to protect those lungs, Joseph.
Every now and then the hospital that's under very, very strict observation. And we visit the family in park. If we go visit the family, it's usually in a park or in a wide open field so that we are protected.
Right.
And your other question with regards to colds. So, you know, one of the reasons we're so cautious with COVID is just the common cold. RSV, rhinovirus, enterovirus have landed us in the hospital for 10 days at a time on basically oxygen support, heated high flow. We call it the spa treatment. We're encouraging hospitals to start the a program similar to the airlines so that when you're frequent flyers, you're in the hospital a lot with colds, that, you know, they start giving you points so you can, you know,
get free coffee.
Free coffees, free flight.
That would be nice.
So, yeah, we spend, unfortunately, a little bit of time during respiratory season at Children's Hospital getting additional support. But we have an awesome team that has been following Joseph since he was in the NICU. We'll give a shout out to Alicia Grenells. She's the pulmonologist that has followed him since birth, basically. And she takes good care of him. Dr. Gein. Absolutely phenomenal. And Kinsella. Then Dr. Kinsella, which some people know, especially in the pulmonary hypertension community, because he's the one that researched and provided the nitrous oxide therapy that currently helps so many in our CDH family.
Right. They are an amazing team up there at Children's. We have many that travel to Colorado just for their help and support and their knowledge. So those are great shout outs. Joseph, what do you like to do outside of school?
Swing set. I have a swing set in the backyard. Scouts.
Scouts, yeah.
What rank are you in Scouts?
Weeblow.
That's neat. That's very neat. Do you like trains with your dad? Do you like going and visiting in different places with trains? And
yes.
Live steam trains.
A lot of steam trains?
Yes, motor cars.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to share with us, Joseph, about living with CDH or anything that you find interesting you want to share?
Not much.
Not much? Jennifer and Al, I appreciate you taking the time today and sharing more about Joseph's story. And you both have been an incredible help to raising awareness over the last 10 years, and it's a big birthday coming up here in a couple weeks, and we hope you guys celebrate big, and you've come a long ways, Joseph, and we are so proud of you.
I know.
A long way to go.
He's going to keep you busy in the teenage years.
Yep.
Hey, we'll take it, because 10 was something that we weren't promised, so we'll take 10, and we'll take double digits, and we'll take 13, and we'll take anything that we're given the option
triple digits,
to. Oh, he says triple digits, so.
Triple digits. That would be awesome, Joseph.
Well, thank you for letting us share our story. We're, again, very grateful for everything that Sheriffs and CDH International has done for us and done for our community to raise awareness, because, you know, it's sad how common it does happen, and we need to be as strong as some of the other groups are that struggle with different health challenges.
I agree, Jennifer. Thank you very much for taking the time and sharing today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to the Rohde family for sharing their story and helping to raise congenital diaphragmatic hernia awareness. If you would like to share your story on the CDH radio show, our blog, the telethon, and all over social media to help raise CDH awareness, please go to www.cdhi.org/share-your-story. Once again, I'm your host, Dawn Ireland, president of CDH International. I am so happy to spend every Tuesday with you and to share the journeys of these amazing children and their families. I look forward to seeing you all again next Tuesday. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.